Welcome back, listeners. It's been way too long. It's your host, Peter Talbot here. I'm joined by Danny. Go, Rog.
G'day.
Founder and director of Outwear Mobile. I'm joined here by Dan as well.
Hi.
You got a dev. Great name, Dan.
And Stephen.
Hello.
Who is also an iOS dev. All right, so
let's talk Android.
Let's go. We've got a lot of fanboys in the room, and I'm feeling a little bit inadequate because you've all got big phones. I've got my little 5S sitting on the table. I feel a bit sad. But before we get into the main topic, which is you guys talking about your new phones, which is this is a really interesting podcast. Let's talk about what happened on Friday. We recorded this beforehand, but
what might happen, what
we might like to see. We're definitely not speculating. Just talking about what Tim Cook might announce that we might be excited about.
So it's obvious to me that it's going to be iPad related. I mean, the iPads haven't been refreshed since about this time last year. What I read is the only thing I'm really hoping for is more memory. I just drives me nuts the fact that I run out of memory on the iPad all the time. You know, like I'll be surfing, I'll go into email, do an email, come back to the browser and has to reload like all the websites. Have you noticed that?
I've never noticed that.
Has anyone else noticed that as an issue? Like you use Google Drive all the time, Sheets, trying to do a document, you go out of it, come back in, got to reload. Drives me nuts.
Okay.
I think I've noticed that a little bit. I think maybe Safari's a bit over aggressive on its resource management or something like that. It wants to just,
I'm a bit more of a casual iPad user. I'm a couch
guy,
and I've noticed you always bring it into meetings. You're always a power user. So I haven't really noticed the lack of memory.
Yeah, well, I think that's where, if you look at iPad sales for the last couple of years, they have flattened off. You know, iPad was going to be the big, big driver for Apple. It was bigger, you know, it was growing at a faster trajectory than the iPhone, and then it just kind of petered off. And my sense is that it's nearly good enough to be a product, like a real, you do real work on, but it's not quite there. Like if I'm sitting down and I need to actually do work in quotation marks, like open a spreadsheet or do more than respond to emails and surf, I kind of feel like I want to go back to the Mac. And there are a few things for me that are missing in the iPad. So one of them is the memory not being able to kind of multitask efficiently and move between applications easily. The second thing is that I like about the Mac is being able to kind of have a couple of things on the screen at once. If you think about all this adaptive UI that is now in iOS 8 and Xcode 6, you know, maybe I've read rumors that there's going to be some sort of multi-screen option for the iPad. So you can have, you know, you might have a web browser open and your email open on the same screen. And I think with the adaptive UI, that could happen more easily. I don't know if the developers want to chime in.
I'd still be very surprised if I saw that stuff. I think they've definitely paved the way for it.
Yeah.
But it just seems so
non-Apple.
Against everything that they've already established. But everything they've been doing recently is kind of against what they've already decided and it's a post Steve Jobs era in quotation marks. Yeah. Like they've just,
well, I mean, what else are they going to do? Like they've got to keep it moving forward. They've got to keep the iPad, you know, they can't make it simpler, can they?
I don't think so.
I don't think that's the direction. I think they're going in the other direction. I think the iPad iOS is becoming more like Mac rather than less like Mac. I mean, more productive.
How do you feel about like hybrid type devices, like say the Surface, or like plugging in a keyboard case.
There's a bit of me that's really jealous when I see people using the Surface, because that's kind of the solution I think I want. Like I'm going to use Windows, but I'd like to be able to kind of have be able to surf with it on the couch, big screen, fingers and stuff.
Yeah.
And then be able to mount it with a keyboard and actually do real work on it.
But you want like the full...
No, I don't. That's I don't
OS
think
OS on there.
Well, if you told me that my iPad could run Mac OS 10 in a certain mode, I'd love it.
Yeah,
that's the truth. Because I've got one. I can have one device.
What if you could plug? Yeah, if you could dock your iPad.
Yeah, which I do.
Yeah, and so you get to work. You dock it into a screen and a keyboard and a mouse, and it just becomes a computer. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be cool?
I think it'd be really cool.
But wouldn't that just be like a laptop with a touchable screen, like the Windows 8 computers?
I guess so.
Yeah. Yeah, if I could have a Surface that ran OS X and iOS,
yeah,
that'd be
like,
great.
The Surface does both things terribly. It's like if you want a really average laptop and if you want a really mediocre tablet, then get a Surface.
Yeah, from a dev perspective, at least the split screen app sort of functionality would be really awesome. But as a dev, I think they've probably laid the foundations for that sort of functionality, but they're probably waiting a bit because there's so much new stuff with iOS 8, and there's the adaptive UI, and there's like new screen size and stuff. They're probably waiting for all the devs to figure a bunch of stuff out.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's still early days with all the adaptive layout stuff and the auto layout and everything with the movie stretchy.
Hasn't auto layout
like Woody Allen. The movie stretchy.
Hasn't auto layout been in Xcode for a while now?
Yes.
Yeah.
But people aren't using it.
It's seen a lot of use. It's just the adaptive UI part of it that's actually, well, by definition new, and therefore no one's used it as much yet. One of the things that's interesting about using the Plus, which was my selection, is a lot of the devs of the apps that I use, they haven't updated for 6 and 6 Plus, like nowhere near as much as what I was expecting. Mm. And I'm wondering if it's because...
You're really expecting that?
Oh, I'm totally expecting it.
But like already?
Yeah, totally. But I mean, Facebook hasn't been updated, which I don't even use Facebook.
Like, when 7 came out, it was like little app store icon. It was just like 18 little badge, and you just like smashed all these updates. Yeah. And everything's
but how
new.
Many of our apps have got it through the app
store? Well, that's a good... Yeah, no, none. Because, yeah, well...
It's not as big a change as iOS 7 was.
It's not as big a change. You can get by without it, but it really is a big change. Yeah. I mean, I use Mailbox on... my iPhone 6, and they just updated that yesterday, and it's so much better.
Yeah,
it just looked big and kludgy. Yeah, and
what about the desktop scaling, you guys? I thought that was
desktop class.
It's like nothing like buying scaling. Like a new 4.7 inch phone, and all the things are massive Fisher Price icons. Yeah. I'm like, oh, great.
Yeah. So, how are things looking generally?
Well, hold on. I just want to just focus back on this iPad.
Yeah,
I mean,
sorry.
What do you think Apple could do to make you want to go out and buy a new iPad?
Well, that's an interesting question because I feel like I need to upgrade my phone all the time. Mm. But I've only ever bought one iPad and I love it. Mm. And it totally does the job. And it would be such an extravagant purchase for me to go, oh, yeah, I'm going to upgrade that now. What would they have to do? Something pretty...
Yeah, I mean, I think the hard. I mean, there's been this kind of rumor of this, you know, iPad Pro, which has got a 12 or 13 inch display. Mm. Now, I'm not sure that.
Yeah, I kind of like the sound of that. Mm. Even just for the novelty of it, even if it doesn't sell at all, it'd just be cool. This is a massive iPad. And you're like, oh, it's so sweet, and just never, no one buys it. The phone's like, that's cool.
That's why I think they're basically thin enough and light enough and fast enough, and Touch ID will be cool. But I don't think that's a game changer.
Are they though? Wouldn't it be cool if there was like a double Air and it's like?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I think it's more to do with the software than the hardware at this point. That the software's got to get better.
It's weird because Touch ID on the phone was huge because, but I don't even have a passcode on my iPad, because I just leave it at home. I don't really care. Mm-hmm. The NFC in the phone is a big deal. Like the Apple Pay stuff on an iPad, not that big a deal.
Yeah.
I think it's harder to have that killer feature, that must update feature. And maybe that's why they changed the naming of it like to the iPad Air, because it's more like a PC sort of market rather than a smartphone market. I don't know.
Anyway, I think it'll be interesting to see. Also, the other thing I think is coming out is Yosemite, so 10.10. That's been in public beta now for a while.
I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, is anyone running it? Anyone running?
I have decided not to.
Same here. I've got way too many apps, like power user apps, or just in volume, and I'm not risking it.
I've been running it. Everywhere, in fact, I put on my wife's computer because I was pretty confident with it, and it's great.
How's the continuity stuff?
Yeah, it can drive you crazy. Yeah. Like when my phone rings now, it rings on my phone, my computer, my iPad.
Oh, so it's kind of like
my Pebble.
It's like the original.
It drives you crazy.
And iMessage first came out. It's just, that's still a running joke.
Yeah.
What do they call it in Portlandia where he gets the brain message?
don't know.
Okay. Anyway, it's really funny sketch.
But the UI is refined. I think like Dropbox just came out with an update. I think, you know, they're now like using the official plugin, Finder plugins rather than kind of hacks. And it's just, you know, it's always fun to have new UI to play with.
Do you feel like OS X and iOS are getting closer and closer together?
Definitely.
Yeah, totally. Especially from a dev point of view. I mean, there's a couple guides now on the Dev Center that relate to things like how to build, make your code a lot more modular and, you mm-hmm. know, build frameworks rather than apps that do a thing. So, it's like sharing a lot more code between apps.
Yep.
Between Mac and iOS apps.
Yeah. Right. So, like, especially with, like, Swift and that sort of thing.
Yep.
So, it's you combine that sort of thing with handoff and continuity mm-hmm. and it's like you can definitely see the what we're being coaxed to. Develop.
Is it more and more like you're just building a system for different size windows? Like you're just building
definitely
a machine and you're just looking at it in different ways?
Yep, 100%. Yeah,
cool. And is Swift like the one language to rule them all kind of thing? Like is that going to be the future as far as developing stuff for Apple?
I would say so. At the moment, it doesn't feel that way because you don't just release a programming language you're going to use for the next 20, 30 years in yeah. 1 year and go, there you go. And everything's figured out.
Yeah.
But by, you know, by fact of, you know, it's Apple and they've invested millions of dollars in this language.
Mm.
You know, as I said, you don't just make a programming language you're going to use for a couple of decades.
Mm. Yeah.
So
it's really, they've just laid the foundation really.
Yeah. I mean, like, and they're still going and that's one of the, you know, most, like on the Swift podcast, we were saying it's one of the most exciting things. It's all of a sudden the tools we've been using for, you know, a decade or over a decade have just disappeared and everyone's new and we're all just trying to figure this out. So,
cool.
Very cool. How long before Outwear Mobile is just smashing out desktop class applications?
There are. The truth is we've had some discussions with a few clients about doing desktop applications and it's just a matter of priority. I mean, I think there's demand and desire for it, but it's a matter of priority. I'd love to do one. I'd love to take one of our iPhone apps and get it running on the Mac because I'd just love to use it.
Yeah. Handoff may prove like a really good catalyst for that sort of thing. Yeah.
It's very exciting times. All right, let's get into the fun bits. You guys have got some pretty shiny new phones.
Mm.
Yeah.
I noticed none of them are bent.
No.
They're all pretty straight.
I tell you, you know that meme has traction in the community when your eight-year-old son comes up and says, Dad, is your iPhone bent? No, can I try to bend it? You know, that's the way people grab it in meetings and they go, does it bend?
Do you reckon there's any chance that it was just Samsung employees just doing like a hatchet job or do you think there's...
I don't know.
What is it, like eight cases out of...
No, nine.
Nine out of...
How many? 10 million.
Six... How many?
I think it was 10 million people. 10 million users.
Yeah.
It just seems too easy for them.
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
Like, what are we going to do next year?
I think what it says, House, it's a sort of sad comment on society and what is newsworthy.
Yeah.
I think...
You Everyone know, like, wants you can, to take a shot at the successful
absolutely.
Guys.
Absolutely. Yeah. Anyway, let's not talk about that. Let's talk more about, you know, your experiences with the phone. Are you happy with it? You guys have got... The plus,
yes,
the six plus. Was that a hard decision to make?
It actually wasn't for me.
You just went, that's what I want.
Yeah. As I said before the podcast, I was going to get an iPad as well.
Yeah.
And so this is a no-brainer for me. Mm-hmm. I can just, you know, save money for one thing. But I've always joked that they can make the iPhone as big as they like, as long as it fits in my right pocket, because I don't put like my keys with my phone because mm-hmm. that would be crazy. Mm-hmm. And so it just fits in my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I'm totally happy with it.
It's like a really adorable iPad.
A little cute one. Yeah.
I tried. I mean, we ordered a couple for Outwear and I took the 6 Plus home for a weekend. And maybe it was just the fact that I don't have the infrastructure in place. Like I don't have the car mount, I don't have the running gear that I couldn't get it to work. So I'm slowly kind of building that out and I think I'm going to give it a crack again. I think the 6 Plus is the answer when the Apple Watch comes out, when you're sort of using your phone a little bit less. But I decided to go for the 6 just because, it's already such a big step up in terms of the screen size for me that it feels like I've got somewhere to grow into rather than to go, going to the, the maxi at this,
It's like a gateway drug for the plus. Yeah.
So what do you think, Stephen?
Yeah, for me, it was quite a hard decision because I was really used to using the phone with one hand. And when I switched to the 6 Plus, I thought it was really big. But, I mean, I've gotten used to it now. And after using it for a while, I really love the screen. Mm-hmm. It's like really crisp and really clear. And I think it's a big step up from the 5S.
So, are you using that instead of an iPad or you've got an iPad as well?
I've got an iPad as well. It's an iPad 2 though. So, it's really old and it needs to be replaced. So, I've just been using the iPhone 6 Plus. Right. And yeah, I really love
it. So, have you changed your behavior? Like your one-handed behavior? Did you go through a sort of transitional period to get used to that, the size of that device?
Yeah, definitely. Like, you definitely need to use the phone with two hands now. But I have found that when I'm on the train and stuff, I can still use it with one hand.
Okay.
And I occasionally use the reachability feature, which is double tapping on the scanner ID to bring the home screen down. Mm-hmm. And it's actually been quite a useful feature for me.
So are you both happy? You both think you've made the right choice?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
I think so. I wasn't used to it at first, but after using it for about a week, I think looking back at the 5S, it just looks really small now if I look at
the 5S. Oh, the 5S is comical.
I've got a 4S at home, I went to pick it up to cancel it, and I felt like a giant with like a mechanical claw thing. Yeah, overcompensated. Yeah. And I was just like, wrapped my whole head around it.
Comically big.
I even found going from the 4 to the 5S, like when you go back to a 4, you're like, oh, it's so stumpy and weird.
Yeah.
It just looks so short.
It's like an immediate effect when you when you've used a bigger phone and you go back to the small one. It's like, how did you do this? Like trying to type, it's like the tips of your fingers.
And that's the funny thing. What's interesting, Stephen, is what you're talking about using it one handed is you're like, oh, it took me a while, but I kind of got it. Yeah. I'm just a nightmare one handed. Like I go on trams and trains now, and you're just like, oh, where's Dan? Or look for the dude that's like holding onto a rail and looks really stressed out because I'm just like, and like. Yeah, I just can't do it. I actually don't think reachability is very useful.
Right.
I don't enjoy using it.
To me, that just seems like just them sort of going, well, big phones is kind of stupid, but we came out with this sort of
I use it a little. I use reachability a bit. Normally, when I'm kind of, it's like 4 a.m, I'm lying in bed and I just sort of can't be bothered stretching. I just sort of double tap and it gets me to the top. But I found that the new keyboards have made a big difference with the one-handed usage. So, I've got the swipe or the Swift key.
Like that,
And again, when I'm lying in bed just sort of with only one hand, I can kind of punch out an email with just, drawing lines over the keyboard rather than the
swipe's pretty cool.
But I find the transition between the keyboards slow and a bit clunky, and it kind of drives me nuts as well.
Yeah, so maybe that's something that'll be fixed in the future. I know SwiftKey released an update this week that supposedly sped up the keyboard load, which is just an absurd sentence. Yeah. Like you shouldn't have to wait.
Yeah.
Speaking of keyboard load, I tried to install one of those animated GIF keyboards.
Has
anybody seen?
No.
It was
really, oh, yeah, really there's some pretty funny ones coming
out. I had to
up.
Get rid of it. The other thing with the third-party keyboards is I don't know if you've seen this, but it comes up with the dialogue and it says the third-party keyboard will need full access to your passwords, your driver's license. Yeah. It's like really threatening. I was like, I'm not going to do that. And it was like, you can't use the keyboard.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
And the install process is a bit kludgy. So, you sort of download this app that's like a tutorial, but then you've actually got to go into the settings keyboard, turn it on.
It's very, very weird.
And the other thing that drives me crazy is that the button to change keyboards, that little kind of globe icon, it moves. It's in different positions on the different keyboards. So, you can't kind of keep going through the keyboards, and it's a bit annoying.
How for the new iMessages where it's like attach a video or message and that sort of thing, and I always say it and you touch down and it's radial?
Yeah.
They should do that for the keyboards because you install a bunch of keyboards, right? Like, I've got the emoji one, the normal one, SwiftKey, and I've got one that's called Clips. It's a clipboard manager. Mm-hmm. So, you can just copy stuff throughout the app, and then you can switch to that and you can just paste a bunch of stuff in one app.
Right.
That's like multitasking. It's like hacked multitasking.
Yeah, it's really cool. But to get through, I'm like keyboard load, keyboard load, keyboard.
Can you do like two finger swipe to the next keyboard or something?
Can you do that?
I mean that would make sense. You can hold it down. Okay,
I'm gonna try that right.
I only really switch to emoji. Got to get my sweet emojis out.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm going to use reachability now to get to the top of the screen.
Do you see the one that's like a sci-fi Hollywood keyboard that was made as a joke and there's all different modes? Like, whenever you type a key, it plays like an electric guitar note and you can just like hammer out and it just like plays.
And he's actually right. If you tap and hold that globe button. Oh, no, it's only if you're in the Apple keyboard, Andy. So, if you're in the Apple keyboard and you tap and hold, you get that.
Well, that's good. That's good enough for me.
Not now. Hold on. You tap and hold and you get that option. But when you're...
Oh, that's been around for ages, actually.
But when you're in another keyboard, like this one, which one's this? Is that swipe? Swift key. It's one of them. You've actually got to press another little button and then you get...
So, there's a few consistency issues there with the keyboards.
Bit hacky. Yeah. So, did someone read... I read something that if you've got the black keyboard on, not the white keyboard, like you save yourself, like you get an extra 3 hours of battery life on your phone.
That must be...
Did you read that?
Not true.
Steven? I don't know if that's true, but I'd say at least for the Plus, it just doesn't even matter because that's one...
Battery life. Battery life in the...
Amazing.
Really great. Yeah.
Oh, let's talk about that. So, are you charging every day?
Yep.
I charge every day because I'm conditioned to do that now. But
what sort of a madman would you have to be not to charge every day? Like, that's like psycho.
Living on the edge. So how much, when you plug it in at night, how much have you got left?
Okay, so I can answer that, but a fun statistic is on my way to work, like jumping on the tram, going through emails, RSS, downloading a bunch of stuff on 4G, get to work 15, 20 later, I'm on 100%.
Wow.
Wow.
So, that's fun. Really minimal use, get home, I'll be on, like, about to go to bed, 92, something like that. And
how are you going, Danny, with
you? I'm just charging whenever I can. I'm conditioned to do it. In the car, plug in, at the desk, plug in. I'm plugging in all the time. I get down to sort of 3/4 and I get nervous that it's all going to drop really quickly.
Yeah.
I don't know if I use my phone more than others or I've got too many apps going in the background. I don't know what it is.
So, I think a good heavy use test for me, I was like, because one funny fact about me getting the Plus is I went from a 4S to a Plus. So, people, of course, are like, oh, what do you like about the Plus? I'm like, 4G is good and it's my home button works because it was
the screen isn't cracked.
Yeah, and that sort of thing. And I was like, oh, let's just see how fast 4G really is. And this is probably not a wise decision. And I was like, I install all my apps on 4G. And I was like, that was so fast. And yeah, even then, it was just like 65%.
Right.
Like,
have you got your data bill yet?
I'm on prepaid.
Okay.
So,
data bill, y'all.
Yeah. So, okay. I knew what I was doing when I did it. But I'll never do that again.
Obviously. Hey, a tidbit that I just want to bring up. Mm. I use Siri. Have you used Siri to listen to a song? Like Shazam? Have you tried that?
Absolutely, I have, yes.
So, I did that the other day in a restaurant and it got the song and then it opens up into the iTunes application with the song.
Funny that.
Hey, yeah, with the song, right? But I didn't buy it.
Yeah.
Because I got Spotify or whatever. And then I forgot about it and then I came back a couple of days later. I'm like, what was that song? And I opened up iTunes and, of course, because it doesn't have enough memory, it had just like gone to the home screen. I'm like, oh, my God, I've lost it. There is the wish list button in the iTunes app and there's now a tab at the top that says Siri and it lists all the things that you've recorded with Siri.
Is that why that wish list thing's been there the whole time?
Yeah.
Because hasn't that been weird in the App Store?
It's not in the App Store, it's in the iTunes Store.
No, it's in the App Store as well, right? It's been really prominent, top right, wish list. I'm like, who wishes for apps? What am I, five? I can spend the $1.99 to get whatever it is. But that makes sense if they're sort of, you know, using that for other things.
Sorry, that was a bit of a random distraction.
So what apps?
You boys run. I know you run. You haven't run with your phone yet, the big one?
No, I haven't tried running with it. But I usually don't keep it in my pocket. I just hold it in my hand.
Right.
But,
it's too big.
It's a lot more slippery than the iPhone 5S.
Yeah.
So I
just thought of a great... Yeah, it's like too sleek. It's ridiculous.
And you're not using cases.
I've got a case, but I try not to use it.
Okay.
Who's got AppleCare? Show of hands.
I got AppleCare because I got mine outright and I was scared.
Yeah.
pure irrational.
So you're just going out, you're just vigilantes, no case,
living on the edge.
You're out of control.
Living on the edge.
So, I just thought of a great app idea for our listeners. They can do this. It's just when you're running, it's an Iron Man app, and it has like the little thing. You just strap the thing to your chest, and it just glows and plays music. Maybe like a theme tune or something.
It's incredible.
That's pretty good. That's free. That's why
it's a free idea.
That's why you listen to the
It'll probably get a slight concave as your pecs get stronger and that sort of thing.
So, just getting back to application development, because that's It's what we do best. Which apps are looking real good on your new shiny phones, and what's looking bad right now? What's in desperate need of an update?
I think the Facebook app still hasn't been updated for the iPhone 6 Plus.
I mean, what are they doing?
Yeah, well, that's the interesting thing is there's two theories I have as to why so many apps haven't updated, and that's it's weird. It's like a weird positive gone too far. There's so many cool things that there are a bit of bugs and, you know, things are trying to get figured out, you know, but that's because there's just so many frameworks and an entire new language. So people are a bit cautious.
You're
but the other
about iOS 8.
Yeah. But the other reason is there are so many cool, awesome frameworks. I feel like devs are taking the time to think about how they can incorporate all this awesome new functionality into their next big update so they can just drop it in one huge, you know, overstimulating. Yeah.
I've heard a couple of things. I've heard, A, that the wait times on the App Store are pretty long at the moment because there's huge demand to get the stuff submitted. And then I think it's just, QA or something. But, I mean, you don't need to release a new feature to scale a phone to the 6 and the 6.
Well, that's it. That's kind of like the...
That's kind of the basic stuff.
The no excuse sort of thing.
Yeah.
Almost like a bunch of devs got the 6 and not the 6 Plus, and they just don't understand how gross it looks.
If I look at my home screen... Mailbox, which I use, just got updated yesterday, and that was the one I was kind of checking like all the time for. I'm on Sunrise, which is a calendar program, which is updated. Sonos, which I use at home, came out this morning with an update, so that's good. Runkeeper, not updated. Gmail's been updated. Evernote's
updated. That's one that's really good.
Yep, updated. I still find Evernote buggy as hell, though. I don't know about you guys. I know my Mac.
Evernote's one of those fantastic, awesome utility apps that is always a little bit rough around the edges. Yeah, I don't know what it is, but it's great, but it's buggy. Yeah.
I have had the longest relationship with Evernote, and I've just started using it again. I always go like, oh, yeah, it's such a great product. I'm going to use it. It looks cool. And then I go to write a list or something. I'll use it for work, and it crashes. Just takes ages to load, or it crashes. Yeah. And then I'm just like, I can just use other stuff.
Yeah.
Or it's just... But I'm back on it now, and I'm going to try it because a lot of people are using it here.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
Using the extensions features, excuse me, of the new Evernote is really good. Like being able to like swipe down and just go camera, you know, menu of some cafe and go done and just, that's brilliant. Mm. And that's what's exciting about, you know, what if all the other apps thought up cool ways
to do
that
stuff? They always, it's like, it seems over-designed to me. Like they're always overcooking the UI or that, like, it's
Evernote,
like,
I completely
like so feature rich and so complex. It's like, can't you just do
like basic stuff?
Like, it's interesting actually. Like, I'm pretty happy for them because they're an indie company, you know, an indie Mac company or whatever they started with that are only relatively young.
Evernote,
people aren't
in like Silicon Valley terms.
They're not. I wouldn't call them indie anymore. They're pretty big.
Well, that's it. Like, I remember using them 5 years ago and they weren't like a name you could just say to most people.
Oh, they have consistently grown.
Oh, yeah, they're totally mainstream now.
I read, they've got 100 million customers now.
Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah.
100 million users.
100 million users. 100 million customers. Yeah.
Just go through a lot of the Google applications haven't been updated. I mean, Gmail has, but Hangouts, which we use here a lot, hasn't been updated. Instagram hasn't been updated. Facebook hasn't been updated. Bolt actually got updated, which is the Instagram version of Snapchat.
Yes. Is anybody using that?
I use it with a few people. So Overcast. Anyone use Overcast?
No.
That's
Marco's podcast app.
No, not yet.
That's hyper minimal.
Yeah, I don't think that's been updated, but you can't really tell.
I mean, so YouTube hasn't been updated either.
Yeah, so all the Google stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're still waiting. So how big is the change though? Is it night and day, or are you like, oh, that looks a bit better?
Oh, it's substantial.
So
okay. Yeah.
It's
not as big as Retina to non-Retina was.
Well, I found on like messaging apps such as WhatsApp, with messages you can see like a lot more messages, whereas WhatsApp hasn't been updated and you can only see like 3-4 messages on the screen.
Okay. So it's just been stretched out and the content area is like the same ratio on the ones that haven't been updated.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay. So they're making better use of the screen real estate on the ones that have been
updated. On your 6 pluses, you know, when you turn into landscape mode, you can have the split view controller. Are you finding any of the apps are doing that?
Yeah, one of the apps I use called To-Do. That's like number two do. I was trialing it out. It's gone full iOS 8 with its extensions and stuff. And yeah, so it's got like a three pane sort of thing and you can like swipe them away and that sort of stuff. So it actually reminds me of my Game Boy Advance using the plus in landscape actually. Right. You just sit there lying on the couch just, yeah.
What about... We talked a bit about extensions, but what about widgets? Have you found any apps, widgets that you like using? Are you finding you go to Notification Center more often now?
Not so much, no. I guess, I don't know, it sounds sad, but I just don't get notified.
I have
about
found-
things. Not about getting notified, but just as a kind of a, you know, I use it now in the morning. It tells me what the weather's going to be. I look at my calendar, it tells me it's got some stocks. It's got, you know, there's a LinkedIn widget. I found it quite useful now. I'm kind of getting into the habit. Half of this stuff is getting into the habit of using it.
Yeah,
like just getting into the,
It's definitely way better with just the today and the notifications because I just found it super confusing with the missed and the three tabs they used to have. I haven't found a widget that is useful. But I haven't really like looked into it too deeply. But I don't think they're really true widgets. They're not like...
They're not Android.
Yeah, they're not.
Yeah.
They're like,
well, that's the big one is they don't allow user input.
Yeah,
and so
yes,
yeah,
that's probably deliberate, right? Because you know Apple wants people to get the experience that the devs intended in the apps themselves, and let the apps talk to each other.
Probably, speaking of maybe just new iOS 8 features, is anyone using the favorite contacts thing in the
no never
no are you I'm not using it
I've used it a couple times and what really frustrates me about it is you have to actually click on the photo of the person and then click on the, like, if you have multiple contacts you have to click on like which mobile, like do you want their home number or their mobile number. It doesn't just go, okay, you just called the mobile number, so we're going to put that one in the recents thing.
Yeah,
it's really quite annoying.
Why didn't they just make a recent contacts widget and just utilize what they've got?
What I don't understand, and I maybe they're planning something to do with this. But remember when you used to like swipe to the left and you'd that's how you search.
Yeah,
there's nothing there now.
Yeah,
what's
if you, what are they you pull. Do?
Down. Yeah, I know you can search by pulling down, but
yeah, I agree. It's a waste of space.
Wouldn't it be better just to go like that and just have your contacts on the left? I don't know. Seems weird. But that's the mystery. Maybe they'll reveal something.
There was just, I guess on this topic, there was a, I'm not sure if you listen to podcasts, but some of the podcasts over the last couple of weeks have been talking about the fact that Apple are trying to do too much too quickly in terms of their software. So, there's been a couple of, obviously, quality issues. 8.01 came out and was quickly pulled because of quality issues. Mm-hmm. The HealthKit stuff wasn't really ready to go. The HomeKit stuff doesn't sound like it's really ready to go. Do you think that they're trying to do too much in a release?
I think it's hard for us to answer, Stephen, because it's just all shiny stuff. As a demo, it's like, oh, that's so cool.
I think my take in it is they're just being more realistic as software developers. They're just, you know, not being afraid to release stuff in beta and let people use it and change it and work with it. I think it's less like Ashton Kutcher's going to reveal the perfect iOS 1 and it's going to, you know, wow everybody, and it's going to like have not the features that you want in it, but it's going to be perfect. I think those days are gone. I don't think iOS is as polished as it used to be, but I think it's better. I think it's Android is becoming more like iOS and vice versa, and I think it's for the best.
I think one of the new features Apple did release for their new apps was interactive notifications. Mm-hmm. So third-party apps can now do that on the home screen. And I found that, like, in Messages, you can just reply straight from the home screen.
Yeah, I love that feature.
That's really good. What I'm really loving is when you're in Safari and you press, like, the action sheet button, and you can have all your third-party apps in there. So you can just go, like, bam, add to Pocket, because I never used the Safari reading list. And just having that functionality of having apps being able to talk together is huge.
Yeah,
and it's super it's like really un-Apple to do that, but it's so good.
Well, it feels like iOS 8, they did a lot of stuff that Android users loved. So there's extensions, the widgets, The interactive notifications, I got a question for you. Can third-party developers do that as well? Can they hook into that, or is that just for messages?
Yeah, they can. I received an invite from LinkedIn, and I actually was able to just swipe and accept them as a connection. So that was really
cool. Like Mailbox, for example, that we use, will we be able to sort of swipe those away from the home screen? Well, the notification screen. I don't think it works yet. I tried.
Yeah, I tried it. It doesn't work right now.
But you think it could come?
I think eventually you can just archive emails from the lock screen, which would be really handy.
Cool. Yeah, there's a lot to look forward to, and it'll be. You know, we're obviously very. Just only a month or so into iOS 8. So
with all this, with all this extension, extension stuff, and handoff, and all that sort of thing, I reckon the reason why they brought it all out now, in a way that's a bit, you know, not as smooth as what it could have been, is just simply because when the watch drops, everyone will be ready to just simply buy the watch, dev on it, all the handoff stuff's figured out, all the extension stuff's figured out. And then that part, it's the watch that's going to be seamless and smooth and awesome, and the stuff that we know about Apple. We associate with Apple because we've figured out all these crazy new APIs that...
Just in the last 10 minutes, I'd just like to talk about the watch a little bit. Have we covered everything we wanted to talk about? I read an interesting article on The Verge that was talking about the UI design on the Apple Watch and saying how they've gone back to a skeuomorphic approach to sell in to the users to teach them how to use it, and I just thought that was just total BS because
how is it skeuomorphic? I'm not sure I follow.
I think they've gone while skeuomorphic. I'm doing the quotation marks like I've got arthritis. They haven't released it, and the only way you can see the iWatch is in marketing collateral, right? So you can't have a picture of a really sexy watch and then just have like a blue box with text in it and get people excited about it. You got to have stuff that looks like watch faces. Like, you got to have heartbeats and cool stuff.
Skeuomorphisms, like
crazy emojis.
Yeah, like skeuomorphisms, like on OS X a while back when you have the address book and it looks like an address book in real life. So people look at it and go, oh, that's an address book. I know how to do this. I don't understand how that skeuomorphism applies to a watch that is a watch.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Yeah, they were saying it's not a watch. It's a little computer that sits on your wrist. So, we're going to make it look like... But I think... Can we just stop using the term skeuomorphism? Because it's a dumb term. And it gets used like in the really wrong...
Let's just go bigger picture. Yeah. Are you... I mean, I'm totally bullish on the Apple Watch. I think the watch is going to be as big a deal as the iPhone was back in 2007. You know, years later, you know, I think the watch is going to have a SIM card and it's going to have GPS and it's going to be this self-sustaining device. And your computer, like your phone is to your computer, your watch will be to your phone or your iPad or whatever it is. And the watch will be the kind of the phone will do the heavy lifting and the watch will be a bit lighter and the thing that you take out with you at night or the thing, you know, if your watch has got a SIM card, which nano SIM's not very big, you just get in your car and it could connect to Bluetooth and you could speak off it. Maybe you couldn't do email on it. That's what you need a phone for. But I think it's going to do a lot of the stuff that we just do now. You won't need to carry a phone around with you.
Yeah. I think
so. I'm just super bullish on the watch.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited about the watch, and I think that's why. Like, if people are excited to develop for it, I think it's hard to get people excited about a phone now. Mm. It needs to be something new, and I think you're right. Like 7 years on, it looks like the way to go, and it's tried and tested sort of format. I'm wearing a Pebble right now, and it's working pretty good.
It's really interesting with the Pebble. I've had a Pebble for a while, and it's interesting the new applications that they've come out with, which have made me put it on again and really use it.
Yeah.
So they just came out. Pebble just came out with a software update that lets apps run in the background. There are two apps that track your steps. So there's Up and one called Misfit, and I've been using Misfit, and I put Up on this morning, and I'm looking at my watch all the time. You know, it tells me how many steps I've taken, and I can see it visually, and I connect it now more to my phone, so I get notifications on it, and I find it really, really useful now.
Yeah, I mean, just allowing the background applications to run, it's just, it's a really good example of where applications and software can breathe life into hardware, because to be honest, like my Pebble was in the drawer for like most of the week, and I'd maybe tried it out once or twice, but I got the app application in here in the weekend, and it's really, really good.
And if you think about the Apple Watch, where they've got the health, all that health stuff, where they tell you how much you've walked and how many steps you've gone up and how active you've been, I reckon that's going to be a big driver for people to get the watch and go, should I walk down the street? Have I done enough walking today? Should I walk up the stairs rather than take the elevator? Should I get up from my desk and move around?
Well, it's amazing how popular all these fitness trackers
are. Yeah, and they don't do anything. They're
not really. Like, I see people, like, I'll catch up with my friends, and I'm like, oh, why did you get that? Like, really non-techie people are just like, oh, I just wanted, and I just find it really interesting. And I think at that price point, at that, like, $350 upwards, you're getting sort of a lot. You're getting like the fitness stuff. You're getting like a status symbol. You're getting, a cool way to communicate. I think it'll be really popular. Mm. What's interesting to see about the Pebble from like a marketing perspective is as soon as the Apple Watch came out, they dropped the price, $99.
Yep.
They came out with really bright colors, which kind of makes sense. I was in American Apparel on the weekend, and they had above the counter like all the cool old Casio watches. And I was just thinking like it would be so sweet if there was a watch that was that exact style, or that thin, and like had the metal and everything, with just like the small liquid crystal display, like those old Casios have, that just wasn't as chunky as the Pebble. Mm. Like that, I would love for Pebble just to keep going and just make it smaller and smaller and smaller, and just work with watch manufacturers to make that happen. Because that's a problem with them now, that everything's just too big. But very excited about that.
It's interesting how they've made it cheaper, and I think what they're really doing is expanding the market for these smartwatches. Someone will say, for Christmas I can afford a $99 Pebble, and they'll like it, and they'll pair it with their phone, and they'll start tracking their steps. And then next Christmas they're like, oh, well, that's pretty good, but if I got an Apple Watch or an LG Watch or a set, I could do a heap more. And I think that's just what that'll do is just broaden the market for the devices.
Yeah, and the Apple Watch has NFC, right?
I think it does.
So it's not Apple Pay. So
it does. So you can. That's massive.
Yeah. So that'll be awesome.
I think that's another. We haven't even talked about Apple Pay. I mean, Apple Pay again is going to be the way that everyone that pays for things in 5 years.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think Australia is a very interesting market, because I was spoken about another podcast. It's like we already have contactless everywhere. Yeah. I think it's like the most.
There was an article that Visa are updating all their terminals in Europe. Did you see that this morning? They're updating all their terminals in Europe to work with Apple Pay over the next by next year.
Yeah, I just love that there's going to be a period where Apple Pay will be out and the Bendgate thing will still be stupid and around. So there's going to be this overlap where I go to Apple Pay something and they're like, is your phone bent? I'm like, just every time I go to buy something. Yeah. So that'll be fun. Yeah.
So just to close this out, what advice do you have for anyone looking to upgrade now, like myself? I'm still on the fence about the 6 or the 6 Plus. Can you guys convince me otherwise?
I've got a good little adage that's everyone, I think, is guilty of, and I think statistically it's shown that even if you've got like your laptop or your iPad on your coffee table, a lot of people, myself included, will just lie on the couch and just use their phone on the stupid like small screen relative to a perfectly awesome, massive, cool, fast laptop, because it's just longer than an arm's length away and you're like, nah, screw it. The 6 Plus makes that totally okay to do, I think. Since the smartphones came out, everyone's like, it's like having a little computer in your pocket. The Plus really is like having a little computer in your pocket.
Okay.
Yeah. Steve. Yeah, I agree. I'd say definitely go for the 6 Plus. I mean, if you're going to get a big screen, you might as well just, go to the maximum.
Just do it.
Yeah.
In for a penny. Danny?
I'm comfortable with my 6. Yeah. I think it's a good trade-off between portability and weight, and it feels like a big step up from the 5S, but not too big. And the nice thing about it is you can always, as I said, you can grow into the 6 Plus. So if the Apple Watch comes out next year and I go, you know what, now I reckon I'm not going to use my phone just as much, I'm going to use my watch, maybe you can upgrade. Yeah. I don't think you can go backwards from the 6 Plus down to the iPhone 6.
Never.
Okay. So that's I like to leave wrong, myself guys, a stepping stone.
I will say I'm not going to upgrade just yet, because I just bought a Logitech game controller. and I can't sell that. It was $30.
Right.
Okay, so I'm sticking to it.
Good.
All right, that's it.
Cool.
Thanks for joining us at the On Podcast. You can catch us at Outwear. My name is Pete. You've been great. Thank you.